so often women aren't able to just enjoy the life that they've been given. They're always comparing themselves. They're always feeling like they don't measure up. And so I've just seen woman after woman, it was just an eye-opening experience that they moved from being reactive and just kind of doing what everybody else does or just doing whatever the culture says, to taking their life back in their own hands and saying, I'm going to be intentional about how I live my life. I only get to do this thing once. Welcome to our Lead Like Jesus podcast, where we will inspire and equip you, regardless of your title or position, to influence and lead others by following the greatest example of all time, Jesus. This is Karen Conley, and I'm with my husband, Chris. We are so thrilled to have you along with us for this podcast. Today, we're actually kind of flipping the microphones around. I am your guest for today, and my husband here, Chris Conley, who's a trustee for Lead Like Jesus, is going to put the hat on as the interviewer. I'm going to let you take it away.
So it's my privilege today to interview the most impressive person that we've ever interviewed so far at Lead Like Jesus. Seriously, I don't say that just because she's my wife. She truly is a remarkable leader who does lead like Jesus. One of the reasons why we're going to interview her today is because she is releasing a new women's Bible study called Miss Perfect, Discovering God's Purpose Without the Pressure. This is a 9-week study that has a DVD curriculum with it. You can contact your women's director at your church and they can do it for their curriculum. It's just kind of like a Beth Moore study, or you can do it just with a group of women yourself, or you can even do it as a mentoring curriculum. Karen, we're so grateful to hear the story behind this study, to learn what led you to write this book.
The whole image of Miss Perfect really came as we were just trying to really diagnose and for me to verbalize, what is this battle that I feel and what is this battle that most women feel? It came to me that in each of our minds as women, and I won't speak for the men, I don't know how that works in your world, but for most women, we have in our mind what it would look like if we could actually get it all together. If I could actually be the wife that you needed me to be and the mom to my kids that I need to be, and I was the employee that I needed to be, and I was the mom involved in the school that I needed to be, and I was the daughter and the sister and every hat that I wear, if I could get it all together, that in my mind is my definition of Miss Perfect.
So everybody has an image in their mind of what that is for them. One of the things that I think is really fascinating about this book is the actual image that you put on the cover of the book, because I think it captures this perfectly.
We took measuring tapes and wrapped them around this mannequin slash dress form. With the first edition, we were able to see about 2,000 women go through this study. It is not a trade book that you read cover to cover. It is a workbook. The second edition, 8 weeks of homework, and it's a 9-week study with videos and instant download available for it. But it really was this way that we as women keep measuring ourselves and keep feeling like no matter how good it is, it's never good enough. So that was where I realized when I was growing up, just from a very young age, as a young girl, in my mind, I thought, you know, for everything in my life to be just right, if everything was going to be perfect, I just needed to make good grades. That was just what was valued in my home. And for me personally, I don't know why, but just the way that I'm wired, that was important to me early on. And then got a little bit bigger and you realized, you know, just getting an A isn't all that it's cracked up to be if you don't have friends. So that's when I thought, if I can make good grades and have good friends, then everything would be just perfect. It still wasn't enough. Get a little bit older, you realize there are boys, there are all these nuances as an elementary student moving into middle school, that there's more on the line than just having some girlfriends and making good grades. And so all of a sudden, and so typical for so many women, then you just become conscious of your appearance and how you dress and do you fit in. If I could have good grades, good friends, and good looks, then everything would be just perfect. And I share often when I'm teaching with women that we seldom take anything off our plate. We just continue to add things on.
One of the things about your story is you were actually successful at being kind of perfect.
I hate it when you say that. Well, the world's image.
Yes, here's what I mean by that. As you went through elementary school, middle school, high school, you achieved at every level. You had certain friend groups, you had a certain level of popularity, you had a certain level of of academic achievement. You got into college. You went to a great university. You were on track to kind of fulfill the world's definition of what it means to be this powerful woman, but a woman of success. When did that break down for you?
I think I realized along that journey, there were a couple defining moments that really, as I look back now, and as I've had the opportunity to minister to so many women through this study, this is a epidemic among women. It doesn't matter if your road was smooth sailing or bumpy. It doesn't matter if you had an easy, quote unquote, childhood or a tough one. We all have this same battle. And for me, I'm just grateful. And one of the reasons that I won't let this message go, while I feel like it's something that there are more women who need to have the freedom that I am experiencing. Now, I will be the first to tell you, I joke that God had me write a second edition because I'm not done learning this lesson. So I am absolutely a work in progress myself. But there have been a couple defining moments where I realized it's like you put your ladder up against the wrong building. I got to a pretty good way up the top and realized this is empty. That if I'm using the world's definition to define me achieving success and fulfilling my image of who I am, that definition keeps changing in the world. So that was one of my realizations.
Well, a lot of times happens in stages where we discover that emptiness. And sometimes that emptiness leads us to a place of discovering that we need Jesus. So I know that happened for you in college, that you came to a place where you saw the emptiness of all of this. You saw not only your imperfection, you saw your sinfulness. And you placed your faith in Jesus. But here's another common mistake. We receive our salvation by grace through faith in Christ alone. And we receive that and we're forgiven and we kind of feel this immediate relief. But then we tend to go right back to work of trying to be perfect again. Now we're trying to be perfect for Jesus and we're trying to do it in our own strength instead of walking by the Spirit, bearing the fruits of the Spirit. So tell us what happened once you trusted Christ, how this pursuit of perfection, how it kind of kicked back in.
That's exactly what happened. My freshman year, I'm at Wake Forest University. Everything's going great. There's really nothing that I can complain about, but there's just this ache in me that something is not right. Through God's orchestration and some friends across the hall that invite me to some ministry, I realized that while I have grown up believing there is a God, that I do not understand that He wants a personal relationship with me. And so you're right, there was this moment of salvation. So much of my life changed, but the sanctification process takes a while. So in my mind, at that point, really just redefined who Miss Perfect was. So now I actually had a Christian reason to pursue excellence. I actually could kind of put God on my side. It wasn't just to make money anymore. It was to have good character and be above reproach and those kinds of things. So everything that I did and everything that was really driven in me, I just had redefined that into a Christian context, but I was still doing it in my own strength. And that is something that I think I've found, whether you're a Christian woman or not, that most of us have done this thing called womanhood in our own strength.
I know that there was this moment where you had another wake-up call along the way. You had gone to Wake Forest University and then transferred to Rhodes College.
I fell in love with somebody.
Yeah, that required you to move back to Memphis.
Right.
And you were finishing your degree at Rhodes College and you were doing an internship. At that internship, I want you to walk us through another discovery of this Miss Perfect moment.
If there's probably a second Miss Perfect moment, I probably have three that are very defined, and this would be the second one. And this was end of my time at Rhodes. My goal, and I had told you on our first date that I didn't think I was getting married, definitely wasn't having children. I wanted to be a CEO, and no man was going to get in my way of accomplishing those goals.
And so everyone is listening going, why in the world did you date her a second time?
I've asked myself that question a lot.
First, because she's beautiful. Second, because ambition is attractive.
So here I was graduating and I had this internship. This was when Maybelline had their national headquarters here. I was privileged to have a position in the business acquisitions department. So as a young woman who grew up wanting to be successful, and that was what was valued in my mind, that was going to be the next reiteration of Miss Perfect if I was going to just keep going up that ladder to be a CEO. So my first day on the job in business acquisitions, I'm talking to the head of the department. It is a small department, so there are like going to be four of us in this department. My superior was a gentleman by the name of Gary. My direct report was a gentleman by the name of Kenny. So I'm talking with Gary, the head of the department, and he's getting ready to introduce me for the first time to my direct report. I'm watching Kenny walk towards me. I don't know his name at this point, but I'm watching him. I'm 21. He's probably 29, and he's sharply dressed. Gary is telling me as he's walking towards me, he's just finished his MBA. So I'm literally having these thoughts. I need to learn everything I can from Kenny because I want his job. That's my next step. I'm going to graduate soon. I can start here at the bottom of this department, but eventually I want to be Kenny. That's my next place in life. To be Miss Perfect, I got to take that next step. So as he walks up, Gary says, "Karen, let me introduce you. This is Kenny. He is Mr. Mascara." The whole world stopped in that moment for me because I don't know what you think when you hear that, but I just thought, how ridiculous. Here is this guy that has just finished three more years of his education. How much money did he spend? And I think that that is going to be the answer to me achieving something in life. And I thought, what am I going to do? Am I going to go get my MBA and become Miss Lip Gloss? This is ridiculous. God had been working on my heart during that time. And so I just had this moment where I thought, this is going to be empty. This is not going to satisfy. And I don't think I want to spend the rest of my life becoming the head of some product or marketing something or leading people for what? Who really cares what you've got on your face at the end of the day? It just felt empty.
Obviously, the title of this book is a play on words, Miss Perfect. People are trying to be Miss Perfect, but at the same time, they're missing perfect. But the subtitle is Discovering God's Purpose Without the Pressure. As you tell that story, it was a moment where you were beginning to discover that there's a greater purpose than being Mrs. Lip Gloss, right? And the first chapter of the book really talks about our identity without insecurity.
The identity piece is probably one of the most critical issues that women must address if they are going to be able to break through the lies of the enemy and the pressure that we feel. Because the pressure can be internal. Some of us, it just comes from within. It's not somebody else. It's us that we keep measuring ourselves. Sometimes that pressure is external, whether it's a boss or a husband or the reality of your life.
Or the family of origin that you
grow
up in.
Your parents, absolutely. Sometimes it's actual pressure, internal or external. Sometimes it's just perceived. Sometimes it's not actually there. Sometimes it's real, but sometimes it's just our perception. And we allow the enemy to tell us the lie that, oh, they're going to think less of you if you don't do this, or I'm not fulfilling my potential if I were to spend my life doing this. So in that whole identity piece, really what I spend the first chapter going through is helping women to look at the most common places that we tend to find our identity. Accidentally, not intentionally, but that we go through our life, and whether it be the position that we have, whether we are finding our identity in our job, in our career, in a volunteer role, even our position within a friend group or our socioeconomic status, we cling to some reputation, some title that helps us feel like we are valuable. For other women, they might find their identity as a wife. In some ways, doesn't that sound so biblical? Like, well, two become one, and shouldn't I find my identity being Chris Conley's wife? And while that is a blessing, and while that is a role that I love, that is not who I am. And I think for a lot of women, especially single women, and this workbook is intended to be both for single women that are in their early 20s, all the way up to empty nesters.
There's a proactive component that if they will go through this workbook as a single lady or even as a teenager or a college student, it's going to protect them from bringing on a bunch of identities that they can never live up to. And then there's another aspect of the book that, regardless of where you are in your journey, it's reactive. You've kind of embraced these different identities and you've had a situation where they've not fulfilled and you just feel the pressure, be more. The book helps you work yourself out of that and to discover God's identity.
Absolutely. And if women can truly find their peace and their identity, I'll share the story if we have time, kind of that third defining moment for me in the journey of saying goodbye to that image of Miss Perfect. And I want to say that I've kicked her all the way to the curb, that she never enters my mind. She enters my mind a whole lot less than she used to. I'm still in recovery.
I see her occasionally.
You do see her occasionally, yes. Usually when I get really uptight, my blood pressure is going high, and you're like, why are you so uptight about this? It's because I have some expectation in my mind that I'm measuring myself up from. But it was when we had had Mark, our first son, and the gentleman, Clyde Cranford, that discipled you, came to our home to meet Mark for the first time. He says to me, just as out of the blue as you could possibly say, holding my little 2-day-old, 3-day-old baby, looking across the dining room table, and he says to me, Karen, whatever you do, do not change from finding your identity as the associate director of admissions at Rhodes College, which was where I was working at the time, to being Chris's wife or Mark's mom. The only place you will ever find your identity and never be disappointed is as a child of God. That was, again, another moment where everything stood still, because it was like Clyde had just read my mail, and I had just taken on this new role as a mom, and I was trying to sort it all out. It doesn't matter whether you're a stay-at-home mom. It doesn't matter if you're an executive. All of us battle that. I'm going to pull up a quote. I want our women in this audience to hear this, because I think every single woman will resonate with this. This is not my quote. I think this is Robert Lewis. He may have even been quoting somebody else, but he says this: if we are at home, we feel ashamed. We don't have a real life in the outside world. We are swallowed by laundry. If we have a career, we feel like we are missing out on more important matters like marriage and children. We are swallowed by meetings. So this is a problem that plagues women all across the spectrum. It doesn't matter your economics or education, your race, your age. There's just something that we have bought into the lie. Honestly, the lie goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden.
We're speaking a lot to women in this particular podcast. You're about to release this study, and you're going to be teaching this study at High Point, but you also have a DVD series that goes with it, and people can buy the study. They can take it anywhere, at any church or any place around the country. Why should men encourage their wives or their daughters or other women that they know, that they love and respect, to take the study?
That's an awesome question. Here's the truth. The healthier your daughter, your wife, your friend, your girlfriend is, the more at peace that she is with herself, the healthier she will be in every role. If you're not at peace with yourself as a woman, then you are looking to those other relationships to satisfy something that only God can satisfy. You and I saw this early in our marriage. There were things that I would look to you, and I was accidentally putting pressure on you to be more than my husband. I was looking for you to fulfill more than that role. Only God can fulfill the things each of us need. I needed to know that my value was from Him. If the Lord were to take you away, and I can't even barely say that, that doesn't mean my purpose ends. So you need to know that you have value. I need to know that I have value. And if I have that peace from the Lord, all of a sudden when I look to you as my husband, I'm in a place that I can give. I can look to my children and I'm in a place that I can give. I'm not needing them to fill something in me that is empty that only God can fill.
That's an incredible answer, and I so resonate with it because I've lived through that with you, and I've seen the amazing benefit of you going through that journey and discovering God's purpose and letting go some of the pressure. Over the years, you've taught this to over 2,000 women. You've taught it at our church. You've taught it to other churches. You've taught it in retreat settings. What are some of the testimonies that when women go through this study, what did God do? What are some of the results? that someone can expect when they submit themselves to go through this study and go through the workbook and apply these truths?
The way that God has worked through this workbook has been an incredible encouragement to me. It's not my words in this workbook. It is pointing people back to truth, and it's pointing women to look and see what is God's best for you. And every single one of us, yes, there are some purposes that are true for all of us as followers of Christ, but then we also have these unique gifts and these unique talents that God has given us. For women to be able to leave behind all of the chains that are entangling them and all of the pressure, so often women aren't able to just enjoy the life that they've been given. They're always comparing themselves. They're always feeling like they don't measure up. And so I've just seen woman after woman, it was just an eye-opening experience that they moved from being reactive and just kind of doing what everybody else does or just doing whatever the culture says to taking their life back in their own hands and saying, I'm going to be intentional about how I live my life. I only get to do this thing once. I want to be a woman who's on mission. I want to be a woman who chooses intentionally how to spend my time. And I'm not chasing all of these other things, trying to make everybody else happy. I'm seeing how God has wired me and how to be used in the relationships and the setting that He has put me in.
I've seen these different women go through the study and they're taking that measuring tape that's kind of strangling them and they're just ripping it off. And they don't have the pressure of measuring up anymore. They can replace that pressure with peace and they can replace that pressure with purpose. Tell us how women can find the study, where they can purchase the study, and what maybe is the best format for them to do it in?
Well, if they go to KarenConley.com, and that is K-A-R-I-N. Conley is spelled C-O-N-L-E-E, KarenConley.com. You can purchase it there. There's a Miss Perfect tab right on the top. You can follow my blog and really become a part of the conversation that we're having about this topic of Miss Perfect. So would love to have anyone who would like to. It comes in multiple formats. There is a workbook, and you can either buy physical DVDs or there's an instant download available to you. It's something that you can do as a group. In a small group setting, we just grab a friend to do it. And it's also intended for women who maybe have a willingness to invest in other women. Maybe you're a step or two further along spiritually than other women that are near you, and they've asked you, hey, would you pour into me? Or maybe that's your older daughter or something like that. It is also intended to be used as a mentoring guide. So that is a great opportunity. It's really meant to be almost a diagnostic. As you go through each week, it really will pinpoint those areas that are strengths or those areas that are weaknesses for women, maybe where they're more vulnerable to the lies of the enemy when it comes to this whole topic of being free from pressure. So I would encourage women of all ages. It's really designed for anyone from 18 to 70. It's a great opportunity to really pour into another woman.
Over 2,000 women went through this study in the first edition, and I heard nothing but raving fans of the study. So I encourage you to pick up this study, to recommend it to others, to bring a friend with you into that conversation. Karen, tell us also where people can follow you when it comes to social media.
I am at Karen Conley is my handle. You can find me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. I think Instagram, I'm Karen L. Conley. We put that middle initial in there. Would love to have women follow along. We're using hashtag Miss Perfect for all the conversation regarding the study. So I'd love to have you join the conversation.
Thank you for being a part of this Lead Like Jesus podcast. We are so grateful for your faithful following and the way that you invest in this ministry and the way that you make a difference. For more information about leadership development, training, and resources, go to leadlikejesus.com. Leadlikejesus.com.